Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible. Bible's on way. And we are excited for another day of grace, another day in which the Lord has been long-suffering. He's been long-suffering this week. He's long-suffering right now. But our hope is that He'll take us out of here one day in an event called the Rapture. And that was part of the mystery program that Apostle Paul talked about. And we're just rejoicing in the fact that we have a King James Bible that we can use and have and to hold in our present, in our possession. And we're just happy that you joined us here today. Amen. Some wonderful things happened at the cross. And by the cross, we understand that things happen for us Gentiles, amen, or the nations. We're continuing our study and contrasting the Word of God, and as Miles Cloverdale once said, it shall greatly help ye to understand the Scriptures if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what follow after. He wrote that in like 1500. And you think, basically he's saying, rightly divide the word of truth. So he's saying, like, you know, you can either wrongly divide or not divide at all or rightly divide. And we choose to do what God says in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study thyself, study to show thyself approved unto who? God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we know where truth is at, correct? You have it in your possession in the Bible. There's no errors in this Bible. That's why people say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. You ever hear people say that? But what it is contrast. And that's what we're teaching here and be able to show you and be able to help you to share this with people, that the Bible has no contradictions in it. Man contradicts the Bible and what man writes can, but God's Word is pure and preserved. And we are thankful to have it today. We're in lesson 7, as I would mention, and today we're going to look at the Gentiles to be blessed through Israel's rise to kingdom's glory. Now, before last lesson, if you remember, redeemed Israel is to rule and reign with Christ on earth. And the body of Christ is going to rule and reign with Christ in the heavenly places. That's one of the things that you show in a contrast. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God made a division right off the bat. And once you acknowledge that division, you start to understand there's a difference between prophetic program and a mystery program. The prophecy program, you know that over 90-some percent of the people that you talk to out there wants to know about prophecy. And are you thinking about what's going out there in the world today, and you think, oh, it's prophetic. It's here. You know, last days. You know, Peter talked about the last days. Joel in Acts chapter 2, when he's talking, these are days, and they're last days. Paul talks about last days. And they're not the same. So Paul talks about what's in a mystery program, and Peter talks about what's in a prophetic program. That's why you have to see these contrasts. And go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and Gentiles is nations, that's what Gentiles mean, to be blessed through Israel's rise to kingdom glory. When God made a distinction between Jew and Gentile in time past, He made the fact that Gentile Jews is going to be up here on top. That's His people. That's who He's going to show in this earth. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord, this is the Abrahamic covenant, by the way. And you have the Abrahamic covenant, you have the Palestinian covenant, and the Abrahamic covenant is what we're going to see about the blessings. The Palestinian covenant has to do with the land and the nation, and this is the blessings that you're going to look at. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. Is that right? No. Nation, that means one. and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now here's something that God told Abram that he's going to do. What did he promise Abram? He promised him a nation and land. That's what that promise was. And through his rise, through his lineage, that the Gentiles would be blessed. Now, you know as well as I know, if you bless, how many's always been taught since they've been to Sunday school, back in times past, you before you got on Noah's Ark, you always been taught, I'm just joking, you always been taught to bless Israel, right? And even we have a nation today, we want to bless Israel. Sometimes they look at Israel and they say, well, they're allies to us. That's different. Y'all know that. You can be allies with people. But to bless a nation, to get a blessing, that's what this is all about. And we've been told, and I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not making anybody, mad or that type of thing. I'm just saying what God just said. If you bless me, Abraham, I will bless you. So Isaiah chapter 61. When you think about the blessings and all that's supposed to go through Israel, Israel's got to rise. Israel's got to be on top. Israel's got to be above all nations. Where did I say go? Isaiah. Isaiah 61. How many books are there in the Bible? How many chapters in Isaiah? You ever looked at, I think we did this before, about each chapter has to do with each book of the Bible. Something you can find in there. I think we try to figure out what 61 was, but anyway, Isaiah 61. Starting with verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, our God, to comfort all that mourn. Okay, that's who's Isaiah referring to here? Himself? Himself? Israel. Okay, but who's going to come? Who's going to have, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings? Hold your finger there for a second. Take a detour. Go to Luke chapter 4. Now, Isaiah is writing, he's a prophet, correct? He's going to prophesy something to happen. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led in spirit to the wilderness, being 40 days tempted in of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they had ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it will be bread. Now, did he know he was the Son of God? Why did he say if? He questioned them. And Jesus answered, saying, It is written, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The next one. And the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power I will give thee, and glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be mine. And Jesus answered, said, all this stuff is mine. He did not. And Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall there thou serve. Now, why would Satan be able to say, worship me and give me all this, I will give you this? He's the God of this world. He has the deed to this. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written. Now Satan's going to use the word. See how Jesus was going, it is written, it is written. So what's Satan going to do? It is written. So don't you think that Satan can't use the word of God against you today in your mind. Don't you think he can't use the word of God behind the pulpit? Satan has ministers of light. That's why you better know this book. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And if in their hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest any time thou dast thou foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is what? Said. Now Matthew's account is written. He's saying, it is said. Makes a big to-do out of, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a what? That's a dispensational issues there. The Lord Jesus Christ comes right on time and time past, and he's like, hey, I'm here. And Satan's like, okay, if you're this and this, this, do this. Then as verse 14, and Jesus returned the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions around about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified them all. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verses 18 through 21, we don't have to go there. Peter leaves off some wrath here. Okay? Here we go down through here. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And his custom was, he went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of a prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened up the book, he found the place where it was written, okay? Where we're at in Isaiah. Remember what verse? 6. He opens up the book. He's right there at the passage where we're at. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Y'all know that. What did he leave off? He left off the wrath right there. The wrath has been postponed. So go back to Isaiah or go to Zechariah. So, no, go back to Isaiah because it's 61, I'm sorry. Verse 6. We're talking about the rise. I got off track a little bit. I told you we'd take a little detour. But verse 6. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion thou shalt rejoice in their portions. Therefore in their land thou shalt possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery from burnt offerings. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. So the Lord's going to bless Abraham's seed, and through their blessing, who's going to get the benefit if they bless them? Gentiles. They're going to get the blessings off the Gentiles, okay? The nations. Go to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, starting with verse 13. Page 972, if you've got the right Bible. Verse 13, "And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For this saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repent it not. So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and unto the house of Judah, fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of your image imagine evil in their hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are the things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of the hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go into another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take a hold out of the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you. We have heard that God is with you. That's a kingdom. That's over in ages to come. And when Israel's rise, who's going to follow them? You know what the number 10 means? Gentiles. So they're going to grab a shirt coat, a shirt tail of a Jew and walk in the kingdom, because they're going to bless Israel and they're going to get blessings. That's over in ages to come. That's Ezekiel 36. That's Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, where he's going to make a kingdom of priests out of them. And they're going to be doing God's will. Now that's Israel's program for be up here on top. That's what the timeline is about. And the Gentiles are down here. Okay? And then there's, at any time in the Bible, a Gentile could have been saved. But you had to go through Israel's program. The contrast of this, Gentiles are blessed through the fall of Israel. Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. What do we know about the book of Romans? The book of doctrine. What do we know about how you break down the book of Romans? What's the first five chapters? Deals with. Next week we'll start the book of Romans. Justification. First five books. You're justified. Once you get that down, that's when you talk to people and you're not sure if they're saved. First five books of Romans is just justification. That's forever settled. You don't have to worry about going back and sacrificing. You don't have to worry about falling, worrying about you're saved. You're justified. Once you're justified in front of Jesus Christ, guess what? It's settled forever. First five books is justification. What's 6, 7, 8? Six, seven, eight. What are we? Sanctification. You're dead to sin. You're dead to the law. You're dead to the flesh. You know, there's not a person here today that's alive on this earth that's saved that don't still deal with this flesh. People puff it up, color it up, poof it up, whatever. And they think it's glorifying God. They're not glorifying God. They're glorifying themselves. That's why this flesh in this flesh dwelleth what? No good things. Paul says, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing, but the things I don't want to do, I'm doing. That's a constant battle we deal with. And once you identify that, don't that make your world or life a little bit more easier? Like, I know what that is. Sometimes me and my wife, we never had a knockdown, drag out, but, you know, we have some disagreements and stuff, but, you know, once we acknowledge that we're in the flesh, we'll acknowledge it and we move on, don't we? I've done that with the many preachers out there. It's flesh. And once we know it's flesh, we just smile and go on about it, you know, go on about it. But the thing is, it's sanctification. Once you're set apart, that's what sanctification means. It sets you apart from that. Then what's Romans 9, 10, 11? Nope. It's dispensational. It's looking at, and he's dealing with the nation Israel. Saved Israel, by the way. Not lost Israel. You know, didn't Jesus Christ says, I come from nobody but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He knew they was lost. But yet he had believers with them. So he wasn't referring to them. So Paul's writing Romans 9, 10, 11 as a dispensational view of what's going on in grace. Then you got 12 through 16. It's application. How we're going to apply this, what we just learned in the book of doctrine in our life. So Romans chapter 11 is dealing with the nation Israel. And he's explaining to them. Chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Okay, that's a question there, right? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Israel's program in time past was to provoke you and I, Gentiles, to believe what they believe. Moses had a provoking ministry to provoke the nations to come to what they was. But what happened to Israel? They became just like the Gentiles, fornicating with other gods, other religions, watered it down. They became non-effect, if you will. So, have they stumbled that they should fall? Where did they stumble at? At the cross. But did they fall at the cross? No, why? Because he gives them 1 year. He gives them 1 year to get it right. That's the parable of the fig tree, by the way, if you're familiar with that. Then he says, but rather through their fall. So they do fall. So Israel's up here. This is Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And they start to fall. Then it says, now through their fall of them be the riches of the world, and diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more is their fullness? So not only do they fall, they start to what? Diminish. You know what diminishing is? It starts going away, don't it? You're looking at something and you get, you know, you be out on a beautiful sunset and you're watching the sunset and you stay there alone, it starts diminishing, don't it? I mean, they was right there in plain sight and now they start to diminish. For I speak to you Gentiles. Well, go to 15. If the casting away of them be the reconcile of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but to life from death? Verse 25. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Not only did they stumble, not only did they start to diminish, not only did they cast away, what happens? They're blind. So what happens to the Gentiles? So wait a minute, let me ask you this. What happens to blessing a nation like that? How can you bless a blind nation? You can't. They're blind. And what if they're not, God's not doing anything with them, it's not going to do any good. So we're getting blessings through the fall of Israel. Something ever, you know, not even heard about. Go to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Acts. Chapter 9. Acts. Acts of the Apostles. Act 2. Act 3. Broadway. Acts chapter 9. You know who was there at stoning of Stephen, right? Consented. He held the jackets, the cloaks, the garments. Paul. Y'all know about God sending John the Baptist. God sent, the Father, God sent John the Baptist. And you know what they did to him? They cut his head off. They rejected him. God sent his son, and he called him what? What's the song? Yeah, amen. And he, what did he say? We have no king but who? Crucify him. And Brother Kyle did a message last week. I was listening to it about Barabbas and Pilate, how they chose a thief, a murderer, an insurrectionist over Jesus Christ. And they didn't find no fault in Jesus. You know, you couldn't find no fault in him. And he sent them all back to their king's hair and all that stuff. He went, no fault, no fault, no fault. But anyway, they chose a thief. So what did they do to him? Crucified him. Then you got to Stephen right here, a man full of the Holy Ghost, Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What did they do to him? Stoned him. Rocked him to sleep, some would say. And at that point, Israel spiritually are gone. They're fallen. That's why the book of Acts is a book of transition. Okay? And Acts chapter 9, he picks up this blasphemer. He picks up this injurious. He picks up this insurrectionist, if you will. He picks up a guy that's just like Barabbas. And he's going to turn it to the Gentiles. And verse 9, or verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. What's the difference here? It's reverse. It's supposed to be Israel, kings, and the Gentiles. Us Gentiles was down here. Yeah, now it is reverse. So, and what these what man's religion says, well, see, Paul's working on this end of the candle, and Peter's working on that end of the candle. So both ends of the candle is being worked for God. That don't make sense. Go to chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 46. Paul's talking, and Paul's talking. You know, up there, verse 38, he says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, and through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." You know, Paul first says that. Peter didn't say that in Acts chapter 2. Repent and be baptized. John the Baptist, repent, be baptized. Lord Jesus Christ, repent, be baptized. Paul says it's first right there. You should have in your margin, preached unto you the forgiveness. This man, Jesus Christ. Verse 46 down here. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the what? Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shalt be for salvation to the ends of the earth." He told Israel, they're going to be a light. That's what we looked at. So the Gentiles get salvation, right? But where's Paul going? Lo, we're going, go to chapter 18. Chapter 18 of Acts. Chapter 18, Acts, starting in verse 5. "And when Silas and Timotheus were come to Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to what? To the Gentiles." Time and time again. What do you say? Your blood be upon your head. I am what? He's washing his hands of them. He's like, it's on you. Chapter 22, verse 18. Verse 17 says, "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. They will not receive thy testimony concerning" who? Me. The Jews ain't there. The Jews has fallen. The Jews are diminished. The Jews are cast away. The Jews are blind. And they're not seeing. Chapter 28. Chapter 28. Verse 27. "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I shall heal them." Who's he talking to here? Yes. What are they? Blind. What are they? Dull. They can't see. And if they understand with their heart, it's always been a heart condition all through the Bible. Your heart, my heart, has to understand what God is doing. "Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto you to the Gentiles, and they" what? "Will hear it." Salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. It's been out there. It's not started to begin here. That's what Acts 28 people say. See, this is where God went to the Gentiles. Acts 28 position, you know what Acts 2 position is. was Acts 2 positions talked about when the body of Christ started? Acts chapter 2, right? And how about the dispensation of grace? Acts chapter 2. No, that's us. But Acts 2 dispensationalists, listen, everybody's a dispensation to one degree or other. They just won't admit it. Dispensational is a good Bible word. Dispensation, understand, God's a dispensationalist. Y'all know that. He dispenses things to man. He never changes. Man has changed. Acts 2 says the body of Christ started in Acts 2 and the dispensation of grace started in Acts 2. Then you got mid-Acts, that's us, between 9 and 13, if you will. Okay? Anywhere in that area right there, what do we say? We say not only did the dispensation of grace start, but what? In me first. So if Paul says in me first, in the body of Christ. So it's as simple as that. Acts 28 says, well, the body of Christ, the church started with Paul and 9, but the dispensation of grace don't start to right here. In Acts 28. What happens in Acts 28? What books are written after Acts 28? The prison epistles, okay? Before that, you had Romans, you had Corinthians, you had Galatians, you had Thessalonians. And the Acts 28ers will say, those are not really written to you. They're written to the Jews. Because the if you read about Acts and you see all the terminology has to do with Israel, you don't see too much what Paul talks about in Gentiles. So that's what they say. But the prison epistles, they're written as Gentiles. They're written as dogs, evil people, Gentiles. Not the house dogs, the Cornelius type of people. So it's just confusion. But it says is sent, so it's already out there. So if you think about the fall, you think about all this stuff what Paul was doing, okay, through now we can understand. Do you bless Israel to get a blessing? We have all blessings in Jesus Christ. You don't. There's not one spiritual blessing you and I could ask for right now that you already got. Now, physical blessings, physical blessings, you're like, oh, man, I wish I had this, Lord. He probably said, well, you're going to get it. You know, you got it. What did you do with it? We're supposed to be what? Stewards. We're supposed to be farmers in our own bodies. But to bless, to say that we had to bless that nation over there, and that, I'm not downing anybody for what they believe. Believe me. There's lost people out there. That's a lost nation. Tell me that if you go over right now, they're preaching Jesus Christ according to Revelation Mystery. Tell me right now they believe in a spiritual baptism. Tell me that right now they believe in the rapture catching away. Tell me right now that you believe Jesus Christ is a head of a body. Tell me right now that they fall in Paul the Apostle. Tell me right now they preach against, homosexuality or, the fam, that type of thing. 99% of the countries out there don't preach that. So, right, but what I'm getting, so if our gospel is hid to those that are lost, then we have to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We have a gospel today for all nations. You know, we talk about the racial issue out there. People say, well, this guy's a racist, this guy's a racist. There's no race in grace. Grace says, I don't care about your skin color. I want to know what your soul is. And once you get that down, say, what do you know about Jesus Christ? And you tell them about the simplicity of what's in Christ, that Christ died for your sins, buried, rose again. You get them saved. It don't matter what color you are. I took my grandchildren out to Columbus the other day. We went to Lego Ventureland, and my son-in-law was just more excited than Jude and Josie was, because now people their ages, they've been playing with the Legos forever. And we're sitting there in a food court, and Jude's watching people, and they're, you know, I said, Jude, I said, there's every nation of colors right here around you. And it was. All forms of life is around you, whether red, yellow, black, or white, way they was dressed. And he was looking at them. He goes, and you know, his father said the same thing. He said it was unbelievable to see how many people was there. And he was referring to how they was dressing, the skimpiness and all that stuff too. But the thing is, I said, yep, you're right. I said, right here, you could reach to anybody in the world right here. If you think about those cities, that's what they are. Now, out here in the country somewhere, you know, you might run into somebody in a grocery store every once in a while, like, where are you from? I went up yesterday to get my load, and I stopped in Mount Eaton, and I got me a Subway sandwich, and this lady, older lady, she ran outside, and I'm walking in, and the other girl's taking me. I said, what you got going outside? Well, there's a lady out here. She's broke down, and she don't have a spare. So I got my sandwich, and she's from North Royalton, and she spoke like she was from overseas, and you know, but she's driving Mercedes. I said, let's find your spare. Not one spare jack in that Mercedes. I said, well, you know why? I said, but you're driving a car that they figured you're going to call them up, and they're going to come and get you. You don't need no spare. And lucky there was an Amish guy there, and there was a place around the corner. She had a bolt in her tire, and he came and plugged it and stuff. But what I'm getting at, you don't have to go too far anymore to find somebody. Your neighborhood right here changes every 2 years. Every 2 years, there's an influx of people moving in or moving out, their jobs moving out or whatever. So you got a chance to reach people right here. And, you know, Brother Richard, we talked about this before. Richard was in Mobile, Alabama area. He goes to Chicago to get preachers to come down there. And he ends up staying down there. He says, there's 7 million people in there. You reach one family, and they take that gospel to their families. That's what this message of grace is all about. And God is long-suffering today. And we should not look at the racist system. You know there's people out there trying to put a division in you and us. Just keep the fact that, is that person saved? And I work with people. And they're like, and they get on this politic thing and, you know, race this, race that. And I'm like, wait, aren't you saved? You know, trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yeah. Then that shouldn't be an issue. That's the flesh. But we've got a message today that is we don't have to be blessed through a nation. God is not dealing with a nation. He's dealing with a body. And every one of us is members of the body. Look at your body right now. Somebody mentioned not too long ago about breaking down your cells in your body. Millions of cells. And we think about the hands. Paul talks about the hand and the eyes and the foot and all that. Each one of us got how can a hand do this? But you think about those other parts of your body, your organs and stuff. We are all members in particular. So when we leave and we think about the contrasts, and it's not, how do I say this without being ugly? It's not being ugly that you're not blessing Israel to get blessings. And you know that we've been there. And you know there's people out there who say, we've got allies, the key. You can be ally with anybody. We have allies around the world for nations, but we don't get blessings from that. If you want to bless somebody, you do it because God died for you. If you want to, you see people on the side of the road all the time. You know, God bless you, God bless you. He has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. He has given me everything in Christ Jesus. If I got it to get, I'm going to give it to you. You know? I'm going to make sure you got something. And that's the way I was brought up. And hopefully that it ain't going to drain me, you know. But I don't make, you know, anyway. We just got to be ready to defend this gospel, guys. And next lesson, we're going to look at the central gospel of the kingdom gospel. And the central gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. Now we're going to start breaking that down a little more. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.